Hi, everybody. If it's okay with you guys, I'm going to, for those that are speaking up here, it's 6 feet away, so we're not going to use our masks, if that's okay. But we ask that you still keep yours on, if that's okay. We are so thankful to the Lord, as Brother Eddie mentioned, that we can be here together. One thing I did want to do before we get into the message is I wanted to just, if you don't mind, just going one slide ahead here, just to kind of like get us a little warmed up here. And I was going to ask if those that are in sixth or seventh grade, if you guys wouldn't mind just standing up, and just if you don't mind standing up for us. Can you stand up? You sound sixth or seventh graders, would you stand up? Okay, great. There should be, let's see, 13 of you all, so great, thank you. You can sit down. And if you're in eighth or ninth grade, would you mind standing up? There should be 17 of you. Awesome. Cool, thanks. And then 10th and 11th grade, if you don't mind standing up. Great, cool, look around. There should be 13 of you. Looks like we're missing some. Wait, 13? Yeah, maybe. And then if you don't mind, at 12th grade and in college, if you guys can stand up. Should be 10 of you.
Oh, hi.
Excellent. All right. And then if you're not any of the ones that I just mentioned, if you guys can stand up, there should be 16 of us. They're not. Silas, you're supposed to stand up too, wherever you are. Silas. All right. Great. Thank you so much. The last thing I wanted to do is, if you're a child of God, can you please stand up? There should be 68 of you. Okay. Great. Thank you very much. You guys can sit down. The reason why I wanted to do that, brothers and sisters, just before we begin our time together in this retreat, I just wanted to say that age is not anything. It doesn't mean anything here. Okay, it's just a number. And I think one thing that we want to really make sure of is that the Lord's life, it speaks through anyone. And so when the Lord speaks, no matter what age you are, no matter how young you are, when the Lord speaks, it commands respect. And when young people, older people share, we're just all family. We're brothers and sisters. And so I kind of mentioned this at the winter retreat as well. But, you're welcome to call us, like, uncle and all that stuff. That's awesome. But I just want you to know that I'm just a brother. And I'm on this stage only for functional purposes, so I can see people in the back. But we're all brothers and sisters, and we all learn from one another. I learn stuff from my kids every day. And so I just want just you all to know that age is just, it doesn't mean anything. And so if you could just treat us all as brothers and sisters, no matter what age we are, and try to reach out to one another. We're one body, one family, together. And each one of us has the life of the Lord Jesus in us. And it's different. It's different for each of us. And if we want to learn about the Lord Jesus, we have to have our eyes and our ears open to everyone. So that's why at the end, it doesn't matter what grade you are. At the end of the day, there's 68 people in here. So, actually 64. We're hopefully getting Byron and his family over as well. But cool. So thank you for that. Let's go to the next slide. So the purpose of this message today, or this one, is really to share about the burden that we had for this retreat. And so those of you who are, maybe the word burden is sort of like this big word, right? But really, the purpose of the burden is that that the Lord gives something to us in our hearts, and that's something that's so close to what He wants. It's so close to His heart that you really can't even sleep, because you're just kind of like tossing and turning, because you know that the Lord wants to do something, right? And so for those of us, for many of us, for many couple of years now, we've always been wanting to bring our young people together in the Bay Area. So you guys have met with each other multiple times. from, if you're in PCIC, you know, we see our friends, our brothers and sisters from House of God in San Francisco or San Bruno at different retreats. But it's always been kind of in our hearts that we would get everyone together, because the Lord cares so much about each one of you. And it's not you as like a collective, but each one of you individually. He wants you to be His, and He wants us to be together to help one another. So this is kind of like the burden that's been really on our heart. And I chose this particular picture because, and we'll get into it later on, but you see that this picture is of a young person, and they're sitting on a fence. And we'll get into what that means. But they're basically sitting on a fence, contemplating life. And so when we thought about if we should have this retreat, we thought that this was the right time. And if we go to the next slide, I don't know how you guys feel, but one thing I wanted to do today is really about just having really a conversation and just being honest with each other. And one thing that you may feel is that you feel a certain amount of pressure. Pressure in this world, pressure to be successful, and I put that in quotes because we really don't know what that really means, but we think we do, based on how we interact in this world. There's a pressure, right? There's also a pressure to fit in, right? To fit in at school, to have to just have people around you that you feel accepted, and then. One thing is, you may realize, and those that are a little bit older, we realize that sin is closer than it's ever been for you guys. And I work at a social media company, and I'm very aware of how difficult it is in this world, and how easy it is to access things that are inappropriate and find temptations everywhere. Right? It's hard. It's hard, right? Life is hard, especially for young people, right? You guys, I remember when I was in going to college, the college that I went to, the acceptance rate the acceptance rate today is 1/5 of what it was when I was going to the same exact school at that time. So there's a tremendous amount of pressure. And at the same time, there's a tremendous amount just a need to fit in. And so that's on one hand. On the other hand, if you go to the next slide, I think I know you all. I don't know all of you, but you probably are feeling that there's something else going on inside of you. There's something that says, like, you know what, like, there's got to be more than what you're seeing in this world and in this life. There's got to be more than just this, right? So there's something more and there's something deeper that you know is in your heart, right? Otherwise, you wouldn't be here, quite frankly. So there's something more. There's also some sense, no matter what the world tells you, there's some sense in you that you want, there's a desire to do something good. You want something good. There must be some truth out there that is more than just what you're seeing every day at school or in your lives. And then I would say the last thing is you may get a sense, you may feel this sense that you have like a split life a little bit, right? So when you go on Sunday or when you come home, you feel differently. And then when you go to school, you have to like turn on like a different like part of you. You know what I mean? It's like you just kind of like walk into a telephone booth and come out like a different type of character or something, you know? And so there's like this sense of a split life. And so I just wanted to kind of like, just kind of lay that foundation. Just say that, you know, we understand, I understand. And you know what? It's actually not just with young people. It's with, no matter what age you are, you feel that when you're on this earth, right? So. Is that kind of like, do you guys, does this resonate with people? Just give me a nod if it is, okay, cool. I get a thumbs up, right? If we are on Zoom, I'd get like a bunch of emoji thumbs up, right? But yeah, no, I mean, so I just want to kind of level set with people. Like, this is kind of like what's been on our heart. And, you know, we've been praying about this for weeks, for months, and maybe even for years. And so here we are. The Lord's brought us here to talk about this subject of being in the world, but not of the world. Okay? So why don't we go to the next slide? And then, again, I just wanted to highlight this fact that you may feel what's going on in your heart right now is that there is a tug of war. And a tug of war is you've got this rope, and on the one side, you have the world, and you have, quite frankly, Satan is pulling you in one direction. And then you have the other side in which you know the Lord is pulling you in the other direction, right? But somehow you're in the middle. And the scariest part is that the enemy has kind of like mixed things around. So you don't even know what's of the Lord and what's not of the Lord. You're just kind of like, you don't know what truth is anymore, but you're just being tugged around in both directions, right? I know you guys feel it, because I feel it, right? And so we just have to recognize the fact that there is a tug of war on each of your hearts. Each of you guys, every single day, there is a tug of war happening. So let's go to the next slide, Sam. Okay, so this is kind of like, I wanted to do a thought experiment here. So those of you guys who know my wife, who knows my wife, by the way? You guys know my, okay, yeah, okay. So she loves, okay, so, is she here, by the way? Okay, I have to be a little careful. So when we go on long car rides, my wife, she really likes to, she likes to talk, right? And she likes to have, like, interesting conversation. And the rest of us, who are boys, we're just, like, not really into these conversations. But she has, like, this jar, okay? And this jar has, like, these little pieces of paper. And then, like, it has these questions. And then they're kind of like these hypothetical questions. And we sort of talk about these hypothetical questions. So one time, I pulled out one piece of paper from this jar. I was trying to get a picture of it, but I didn't have time to take a picture of it. But as out of this jar, the question was, okay, if there was a world that was 300 yards by 300 yards, okay, and you were dropped on this world for 3 years, number one, who would you take with you? And number two, what would you do for 3 years? Right, and so, you know, of course, like those who know my wife, she automatically wants an answer right away, and she wants to start talking about it right away. But like me, I'm like very, like I'm more like maybe a more introverted person. So I was like, wow, this is really kind of like, I didn't expect this question. It's actually very interesting. Because in a way, like, that's really like what our lives are, right? In a way, like we're dropped on this place. It's called Earth. And you know, it's bigger than 300 yards by 300 yards, but for the most part, it's just this rock, right? And there's a bunch of people there. And then, you know, what do you, and you know, even though like we live for like, you know, maybe 80 years or something, but over the span of like your existence, which is, imagine like in heaven, you're just living for like, you know, for eternity. The 80 years is like nothing. It's like gone, right? It's just like, you're just there, you're just dropping by. And so like, so I was really thinking about this question really hard, and Eunice was like, John, would you just answer this question? You know, I want to start talking about this question, you know? But it's actually really intriguing, right? So the question is, okay, so you get dropped on this like, this 300 by 300 piece of place, and you know, what do you do? Like, what's the point, right? And so some people may say, like I know my son would probably say this, but you know, he would go build a house, right? Like, so I play, you know, I had a chance to play Minecraft with him, and so they you go into this world, they're just like building these huge homes, right? And so you could go and like, you know, you go and cultivate this slab of plain, and you cultivate it and grow food, and you can build a house, and then what you do is with this food you go trade with other people that are really master builders, and you trade your corn for those people that are builders, and they build you a bigger house, and then over time you just try to make this corn as fast as you can. And so you can build a bigger house than the other people, right? Because then you can see above them, because there's not that much space, right? So you want to build as high as you can, right? And then more and more, the key, your goal over humanity is that you eventually get to such a big house that you actually don't have to do anything, and then everyone's just doing work around you, and then but you somehow sort of manage to like build the biggest house, right? You could do that, or you can go to every corner of this land and just visit it. And so that's like travel. You go and see all the different spots of it, or you could cultivate the land and like dig in the land and learn about it, and like that means like you're a researcher. But there's at the end of the day, you're just on this piece of land, right? And over time, those who have studied history, unfortunately, the history of mankind is that over time people fight for resources because they all want to be on that biggest house. And they all want to be on the house that does nothing and have a bunch of people that are servants of theirs. And so over time, if you look at the history of humanity, it's a history of wars. It's a history of gathering resources and accumulating power and wealth. And this is what happens with human beings, because inside of us, there's something that's rather selfish. And so, ultimately, sorry, I'm not going to get to the question my wife and I ended up talking about, but this is really a good thought experiment for us. Like, what are we actually doing here? Like, what's the point? You've got 80 years to live, and what are we doing here, right? So if you go to the next slide, now there's something different, because on this plot of land, there was a man that came, and this person is basically, those that are on this land that were dropped there, and they realize that over time, this was not sustainable, and they wanted something more. They wanted to know why they were there and who the Creator was. And then there was this man that came from the Creator, and he was dropped on this earth, and he was there so that we would know who our Creator was. Like, he would know what our purpose was. And he also came because the people that were on the earth, they were so fraught in wars and struggles and power. And they needed to have a savior. And this man was that savior. And so we have a purpose, brothers and sisters. We are not just on this piece of land and after 80 years we're gone. And we could choose to live that way. You could. But is there something more? Like, why are we here, right? And we have this man that came to us, and we have this word that was given to us. It's right here in my hand, right? And so I ask you, brothers and sisters, what are you living for? What are we here for, right? And so if you go to the next slide, Sam, the great thing about this is that there's the man is someone that loves us and somebody that wants to know us. But on the other hand, the other thing is that we're not alone. We actually have each other. So it's one thing to be dropped by yourself on this plot of land with all these people that just are trying to increase their power and their wealth. And then there's another thing to have a small group of people like the ones in this room that also are attracted to this man and also feel that there's got to be something more than this life, right? And so this is why we're meeting today. This is why we've gathered you from all your homes on a Memorial Day weekend to come out here into the mountains, away from your devices, because it's worth it. It's worth it, right? This is not just a time when we can just chill from our normal life and then we go back to our normal life. Guess what? This is our life. The rest of the stuff is secondary. This is our life. This man is why we live. You guys, knowing each other is why we live. Everything else is secondary. Okay? So so we're going to go to the next slide real quick. And so hopefully that was cool. And by the way, if you do get a chance, my wife loves to talk. So so when she and Elaine get together, I mean, it's yeah. Anyways, But yeah, let's go to the next slide. So this is like in the world, but not of the world. This is our theme. Okay, let's go to the next one. Okay, why did we choose this theme? When we were getting together, for some reason on our hearts, we all like gravitated around this chapter, John chapter 17. And it's a really interesting, special chapter because it's like you have this window into the light, it's like you have this window into Jesus talking to his Father, and he's praying for us. Literally, he's praying for us. And it's like we have this like this hidden view into there. And he says these two things. He says I feel like every time I turn, I'm losing the volume here. It says in verse 11, he says, I am no longer in the world. He's praying to God. Jesus is praying to God. I am no longer in the world. And yet they, meaning his disciples, meaning you guys, right, are still in the world, right? They're in the world, right? And then he says in verse 16, they are not of the world, right? Even as I am not of the world, right? So there's this difference being in the world. So we're in the world, but we're not of the world, right? So it's very, very clear that this is the case and that this is on the Lord Jesus' heart when he's talking to God the Father, okay? So let's go to the next slide, Sam. Okay, so I think one thing that's really important for us to know is that when we think about John chapter 17, and I know that like many of you have read the pre-read, so I appreciate that. In the pre-read, we talked about basically the last, there's like this segment between chapter 13 and 17. It's like this segment in the last 24 hours of the Lord Jesus' life, okay? So we're talking about the last 24 hours of when Jesus Christ was on the earth. Okay, and we start our story in the upper room in Jerusalem. And in the upper room, they are having the Last Supper, right? We've all seen the paintings, we've heard about it in Sunday school. But they're in the upper room, and this was a moment when the Lord Jesus said, you know, Father, my hour has come. And so he is basically done, he's already spread his message to the masses. And now it's just a small group of 12 people. Small group, just like the ones we have here. And the Lord Jesus gets extremely personal, and he talks to them straight out of his heart because he knows that he's going to be gone in 24 hours. And even the disciples, they're not even sure. They're not even sure what he's really talking. They don't know that he's really going to leave. He's been talking about it, but like they don't realize that it's just a matter of hours between this person, Jesus, who we pinned our hopes on, and we followed for 3 years, and he's going to be gone. Okay, the Lord Jesus speaks to them, and that's in John chapter 13 and 14. We're going to get to it later on, but I just want to give you guys a sense of what's going on. So they meet at the Last Supper, and at that point, the Lord Jesus says to Judas Iscariot, he washes their feet, and then he says to Judas Iscariot, he said, Judas, you know, what you have to do, go do it quickly. And the other 11 have no idea what he's really talking about, but Judas knows what that means. And so Judas goes, and he goes, and he has already arranged with the religious leaders at the time that they're going to bring soldiers, and they're going to arrest Jesus, and they're going to take him away. So Judas goes, and he goes out in the night. Okay. So let's go then, if you click the next one. Okay, cool. All right, so we have a build here. Okay, so then what happens is after the upper room, then they start heading over to the Garden of Gethsemane, okay? And I think many of you guys have heard about this. The Garden of Gethsemane is at the foot of the Mount of Olives. It's a special private garden, but Judas knows exactly where that is because Jesus has gone there multiple times before. So one thing that's very clear is that Jesus is not hiding from Judas. He knows exactly what's going to happen, and he's not afraid of it. So, but on the way as they're walking to the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is still teaching them. And that's actually John chapters 15 and 16 happening, and we'll get to that in a second, in a slide. But at some point when they're walking along the way, before they get to the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus basically stops and he starts praying aloud to the Heavenly Father. And the other 10 are there listening. And he purposely wants them to hear what he's saying to the Heavenly Father in John chapter 17. So we'll get to that in a second. Okay, after that, then he basically goes into the Garden of Gethsemane. And if you remember, that is where the Lord Jesus breaks down, like his human body breaks down, and his sweat drops. He goes off by himself. He asks John, James, and Peter to come with him, but they all fall asleep. And he goes by himself, and he asks God, saying, "If possible, can you take this cup from me?" Meaning that he is afraid, it's too much for him at that moment, his human body, to sort of accept, to realize that challenge. The challenge is not that he would be crucified physically, but the challenge is that he had never been apart from his Heavenly Father, and he knows that time is coming when he has to take all of our sins and basically take all of our sins on his shoulders. Everything bad about us goes onto his shoulders, and he gets sacrificed on our behalf. The same way a lamb was sacrificed when, in the olden days, when you have sin, you say the lamb has your sin, you kill the lamb, and therefore it's like an exchange for your death, the lamb takes that death. And the Lord Jesus is going to do that for all of us, all of the people before us, and all the people after us. And he couldn't do that because it said he knows that not just that the Lord would turn away, but actually God would actually be the one doing the crushing. Okay? So it's very hard for him. And it says that his sweat drops were like blood. And it had to happen, he had to have an angel come and minister to him. But the moment that he realized that the cup could not be removed, the Lord Jesus got back up, and he went on his way. So one thing that's very interesting is that when Judas came with a cohort of armies and torches, Jesus went out. It actually says that Jesus went out to meet them. He wasn't hiding from them. He went out to meet them. And at that point, he gave Judas a kiss, Judas gave him a kiss. And Judas told the soldiers that the person I give a kiss to, that's the guy. Okay. At that point, the soldiers come and they say, "Are you Jesus?" And he says, "I am he." At that point, when he says, "I am he," automatically all the soldiers fall on the ground. Right? The Lord Jesus is in complete authority, and yet he turned himself over to them. So that's exactly what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane. Okay. And that's at night. So let's just call this the evening, right? So remember, so Last Supper is around dinner time, and this is like, I don't know, like 8 p.m.-ish, let's just say. It doesn't really say, but it's around that time. It's dark, okay? So then they say, okay, we're going to take him. They take him to, if you go to the next one, Sam. And this is really important, brothers and sisters. Like, at the time of Gethsemane, the disciples basically started to turn, like, shy away. A lot of them started to disappear, right? And then in the trials, the Lord Jesus goes through these, I put them in quotes, trials, because they're not fair trials by any stretch of the imagination. But he then gets sent to the first high priest, which is Annas, right? And Annas is in the, he's up there, and this is where Peter is in the courtyard with John. And then this is where where Peter denies him three times. And then Annas, who's the former high priest, then sends him over to his son-in-law, who's a high priest, who's Caiaphas. And then from there, he sends him off to, they send him off to Pilate for a crucifixion. But what's interesting to note, brothers and sisters, is that one thing, there's sort of a thought experiment that I think some people at PCIC have heard me say. What's interesting, though, is that the Lord Jesus was on stage, basically being made a mockery of, And we know that he is the real high priest. And yet he was being made a mockery of, the high priest according to this world, Caiaphas, right? And you can just see the difference between them. One is hurling abuse, completely unjustified, right? One is saying, hits him on the face, and he says, who hit you? Prophesy, who hit you? Right? This is the high priest of this world. The best that this world has to offer. That's what Caiaphas and Annas were doing, right? But the high priest, that is our Lord Jesus, took it all. And not just that, but on the cross, he actually asked that he would be forgiven, that the others would be forgiven. This is our high priest. So which high priest are you going to choose? The high priest of this world or the high priest of the heavens, right? I'll let you guys make that choice, right? But you can clearly see the difference between the world and heaven in that on stage, in the most important historical moment in human civilization, okay? At that point, then this was around 6 a.m. 6 a.m., they send him off to Pilate, and around maybe like 8 a.m., then Pilate orders him to be crucified. And so at 8 a.m., roughly, if you go to the next, if you hit the next one, at 8 a.m., Jesus begins to carry his cross, and at 9 a.m., the next morning, he's crucified. He's on the cross for 6 hours before he leaves us, and at 9 a.m. he's crucified, and at noon the sky turns dark. Okay, so noon is not a time when the sky turns dark usually. The sky turns dark because at that point God the Father has turned his back, and the prophecy is fulfilled that he crushes his son clothed in our iniquities. All of our iniquities are on his back. And so this is the Lord Jesus for us. So that is basically the last 24 hours. I think the thing that I wanted to share this whole, I know you guys know this, but I wanted to share this whole progression of the last 24 hours to show you, that how important chapter 17 was. Look at what the Lord Jesus is going to go through after chapter 17. He knows that the disciples are going to leave him. He knows that he's going to be made a mockery in front of four different people. And then he knows that he's going to be crushed by the Heavenly Father. But yet, for some reason, he really wants to tell us, he really wants us to hear something in chapter 17. And that is what we're talking about this week, okay? These next couple days. So let's go to the next slide. So one thing I just wanted to show, put things side by side. I just put this together. So if you think about things in this world, through my experience, I found that if the king of this world, right? We all want to be like these really, like in this world, they all sort of like lift these people up on pedestals. But basically, the king of this world is totally different than the Lord Jesus, right? So in this world, you know, we love wealth, right? But you know, guess what? The Lord Jesus, he was poor. He didn't have anything, right? In this world, we always love position, rank. You know, are you a vice president? What's your job? You know, I always find it amazing when I meet people. They all want to know like what I am on LinkedIn. You know what I mean? Or like, I don't know, maybe you guys when you're talking to your friends, some people want to know like, oh, the first thing they say is, oh, what did you get on that math exam? Like, you know, it's just kind of like a weird thing to start up a conversation with. But like, they all care about this stuff. You know what I mean? Or, what position do you play? You know, what sport are you in? right? So this is like what the world cares about. But you know, the Lord Jesus, he was mocked. He was mocked, and they said he was the king of the Jews, but it's a complete mockery. He had no position on this earth, right? And then, you know, we all want to be popular. We want to be famous, right? Again, I work for a social media company. Everybody wants to have, like, followers, right? You want to have followers because then you can monetize and all this other stuff, right? But you know what? Like, when the Lord Jesus died, he died by himself. He was completely alone, right? He wasn't popular at all. In fact, he said the world hated him, right? The world we love compliments. We love it when people say that we're good at things, right? We love that. But you know what? Like the Lord was on, when he was on stage, in mock, when he was going through these quote-unquote trials, they were just cursing him the whole time. You know, he had no compliments. They were just cursing him. They were spitting on him. They were hitting him, right? So, and then we love, let's just be honest, right? We love possessions, right? We want stuff, right? But you know what? The Lord Jesus, if you think about it, he only had one thing, and that was the clothes on his back, right? And what happened was the jailers basically took that thing and they bargained amongst themselves, and they cast lots to see who can get that shirt. It's the only thing he had. He had nothing. He had nothing, right? And then, you know, we love palaces. We love, like, we like having big homes, right? That's just, it's cool, right? But you know what? Like, the Lord Jesus actually said, you know, I have nowhere to lay my head. Like somebody was saying, like, hey, Lord Jesus, like, hey, Jesus, I want to follow you. And he said, you know what? I have nowhere, I don't have a home. You know, I have nowhere to lay my head. Foxes have holes. Birds have nests. But I have nowhere to lay my head, right? We love looking good. Right, I know for for sisters, especially being beautiful is important in this world, right? It's important in this world, or we think it's important in this world. But you know what? It actually says that in Isaiah that the Lord Jesus, he had no beauty or majesty. There's nothing that was desirable to look at. It says his face was, especially on the cross, his face was marred. Right, he was not a good looking person. Right. Even though there's like these weird, like these paintings over time that have like made him look like really good, but he was not. It's just a fact. There's nothing that stood out about him. We love comfort, right? That's kind of like we love being in a hammock and not having to do much, right? But if we remember our Lord Jesus, he was born in a manger. He was born in a feeding trough. Right, so one time I just had a personal story. I remember when Jaden was born, we were in Michigan, and we had a big home. Probably never have a home that large ever again, because in Michigan it's the cost is all a lot less. And I remember it was just large, and in our basement we had like more room than we needed, and like we had like this gym, and then Eunice had like this room that just for her scrapbook stuff. Like it's just like a lot of room, right? And then when we moved to LA, the place was like tiny, you know, and it was like somebody's guest house, but it was tiny, and I never felt bad about it. And the reason why is because I knew that my Lord Jesus was born in a manger, and there was no room for him in the inn, right? He was born with animals around him, no crib, and he was born where basically the animals eat. The straw that they eat, and that's where the king of the heavens was born, right? So no comfort, and then we also love just being carefree, you know, like we love having fun, and that's okay, right? But the Lord Jesus was always moving. He was always like the servant king. He was just always active. It actually says that there's only one recorded time. When it actually says that the Lord Jesus actually slept in the Bible. And I think we all know that story. Only one recorded time, other than the time in the manger. That's basically the only other time, right? And so when we think about this, I just want to be clear, I'm not saying that the stuff on the left is bad, right? Because I actually really like, being complimented. I like having people around me. But I think the question that we have to ask ourselves, brothers and sisters, is that if we didn't have the stuff on the left, would we still feel fulfilled in our lives? As long as we can have the Lord Jesus, is the stuff on the left an absolute necessity? Is it an absolute requirement for us to be happy or for us to have meaning in this world? So that's the question, because our Lord Jesus did not need to have that. The Lord Jesus did not need to have that, right? And so I think the question, though, is that if we didn't have the stuff on the left, but we had, if you knew the King of the heavens, and you knew that you were going to spend the rest of eternity with the King of the heavens, is it worth it? Is it worth it? Right? And so this is what it means to be in the world, but not of the world. And this is a question that each of you have to answer for yourself. Your parents can't answer this for you, right? And again, I want to be clear that the stuff on the left is not bad, right? But if you love it, and it has to be, you're chasing it, your life will not be complete unless you have it, then you really have to ask yourself, you know, where is your heart? Are you of this world, or are you of the heavens, right? So let's go to the next slide, Sam. Okay, cool. So one thing is, I know that we talked through, you did some pre-read, and I just wanted to touch upon that real quick. But I wanted to do this in a little bit more interactive way, but I don't know if I can. Why don't we do this? I was going to run around with this mic, but it's attached. But I was going to ask a couple of us to read verses since we are doing this all together. So Micah. Where's Micah Stearman? Micah? All right, brother. Hey, could you read John chapter 13, verse 14 and 15? Would you mind? As loud as you can, brother. If you don't mind, would you mind just coming up here and reading this? Because, do you mind? Come on. All right, brother. Okay, we got some time, all right? So we're gonna, okay, cool.
If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you.
And can you read verse 33?
Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and I said to you, the Jews, where am I going? You cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another.
Cool. So let's go to the next. So basically, in John chapter 13, Jesus washes the disciples' feet, and his basic message is that we ought to love one another. And sorry, I'm just keeping track of my time here. So I just, why don't we go to the, why don't you click the next one, Sam? So in chapter 14, the Lord Jesus tells them, again, this is on the walk to Gethsemane, that he will prepare a place for us. And he will give us a Holy Spirit, a helper. The last thing he says is that his peace is not of this world, right? His peace is one that he gives to us, but not of this world. And that's John chapter 14. Okay, let's go to the next one. John chapter 15. And I just want to make sure I get my time right. Sam, we have lunch at 12:30, right? Okay, cool. Okay, so John chapter 15, he says, he is the vine, we are the branches, and he goes on to say that, we are not of this world, and the world actually hates us, right? So one thing that, we want to be clear about is that to be in the world and not of the world, there really is no meshing between those two. So the world is going to hate us, that's what he says. And then in chapter 16, the next one, and he also says, he sort of foreshadows that we will be scattered, the disciples will be scattered, but he says that he has overcome the world. That's John chapter 16. So if we go to our theme, which is John chapter 17, and again, we read this about already. We can go to the next slide. Basically, in John chapter 17, there's four things that the Lord Jesus prays for, okay? So the first one, he says, he talks about life, and this is in verse chapter 17, verse 2. He says, and this is eternal life, that they may know you. So our brother John Chu is going to speak on that later on today, okay? And then the Lord Jesus makes another prayer to the Father, and it's about joy. And he says that he distinguishes that there is a joy that's his joy, and that it will be made full. He prays that there, that his joy would be made full in them. And so, and that's verse 13. And our brother Sam is going to share on that tomorrow morning. And then the third thing that the Lord Jesus prays for is truth. And our brother Eddie is going to share on this. And he says, Heavenly Father, sanctify them, meaning you, meaning our disciples, my disciples, sanctify them in the truth. And your word is truth. So there is a truth that is of the heavens and not of this earth. So that's the third one. And the last one is unity. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity. And so that is what our brother Derek is going to share on the last day on Monday. So that's kind of like what we're going to go through this week. And the last thing, if you go to the next slide, you can go to the next slide as well. I just wanted to share with you, brothers and sisters, that what I was sharing, it doesn't just stop in school, but we're constantly going through this struggle. And I'm going through this struggle right now, actually. So, my manager, he told me that he wanted me to take on another job. And that job, is basically going to require me to be online all the time. I work at a place where I have to keep track of bad things that are happening on Instagram, and anything that happens, misinformation, lies that are happening on the platform, or bullying, we have to stop it right away. And he asked me if he kind of told me that I have to, like, this is the job he wants me to take. I had an opportunity to talk to him about it, and I said, I can work really hard, but there's this retreat that we've been planning on. He knew I was a Christian, but he didn't know how serious I really was. And I told him, we've been planning this for a long time, and we're going to go to the mountains, and I can't do it. And I told him, I said, church is really important to me, and it's just really important to me. So on Sundays, it's just hard for me to be on call all the time, And he's like, John, but Russia could attack Ukraine. And I said, I know. I actually share with him, I give messages, and I need my mind share to be quiet. To do this service. And I think he was kind of like surprised by that, because I think from the non-Christian world, when they hear about people going to church, they think of it as something that you can just kind of like do passively. But you and I, church is not just something that we do on Sunday and we just go and then we leave. It occupies our hearts. It occupies our minds. It is life. It's not the thing that we do on Sunday. It's the thing that we do every day, and everything else is secondary. And so, but it's hard, brothers and sisters. Like, this is not something that just goes away when you're done with school. But when you get older, sometimes it's even harder. right? Because you can kind of say like, well, you know, it's actually really important because, you know, people are dying on the internet. And if you're not there, then, you know, you have a responsibility too. And I get that, right? And so doctors, they have to go on call as well. It's very important. So this is a struggle that we all have to go through. But I think the question really is, where is your heart? What's the most important and what's not? And I don't know the answer, by the way, to this question that basically if I don't say yes to this job, I'm not sure if I have a job. You know, basically the way things work when you get working is that if you kind of get asked to do something and you say no, it's like not the best thing in the world, you know? So, you know, but it's something I'm praying about. And it just happened last week and Eunice and I were talking about it. But it, on the flip side, it gave me an opportunity to tell my boss, like, you know, what, you know, what's really important to me. It gave me, it was interesting to share this with him, this much detail about what I do at church and why it's so important to me. So, sisters, I want you to, when I said it earlier, that age is just a number, it really is. We're all learning this together. Okay, so anyways, that's kind of like what I wanted to end with. One more slide, if you don't mind. So I think the question really for you is like when you guys get into discussion time, I apologize, I didn't submit any questions to Eddie. Eddie was so diligent to like print out questions for you guys for your discussion time. But one question you can ponder is, are you sitting on a fence? Meaning that you're trying to have one foot in the world and one foot in church. And be honest with yourself, which is the primary one? Is heaven important or is the world important? You know, and it's okay. It's okay if the answer is the world. It's okay. You should acknowledge it, right? And it's everyone's choice. And please, it's not something that your parents can make up for you. It's something that we all need to do individually, right? So and how can we help one another? So this is the question I'll leave you all with. And I think we're out of time. So thank you for listening. And if you don't mind, why don't we say a quick word of prayer, okay? Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, and I pray for each heart here, Lord, that you may reveal yourself to them, and Lord, you may show us, you know, why are we here? You know, what is the point of this life? We have 80 years on this earth, and what do you want us to make of it, Lord? We know that you have so much more planned, and Lord, so we ask that over the next 3 days, you would really open up our hearts to know what does it mean to be in this world, but not of this world. What do you want us to know about life, about truth, about joy, about unity? Lord, all these things are so near and dear to your heart. And so I lift up my brothers, I lift up myself, Lord, before you. And Lord, we pray that you might reveal yourself. And when you do reveal yourself, that our hearts be ready to accept it, Lord. So with open hearts, we just want to say thank you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Great. We have some quick announcements. Sam, do you want to come up?